The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today, I want to talk about this topic of home. It's been something that I've been contemplating for a while. This notion of what makes a home home has been on my mind. And so oftentimes, you know, when we utter the word home, immediately, you know, what we think of is that of a shelter, a house, place we live in. And then even the dictionary definition, you know, the first definition is that of the place where one lives permanently, and especially as a member of a family or household. And so that's kind of the first thing pops out in people's mind oftentimes. And I'm fond of Chinese characters, and they are oftentimes pictograms. And the pictogram of the Chinese character for home is that of a shelf. It's kind of like a shelf on the top. And underneath of it is a character for pig. I don't know why we have a pig under the shelf, but that kind of, you know, being a home, but that is what it is. And so this notion of house, place to live, associated with the notion of a home. And for those of us who live in the Bay Area, because, you know, this is a big thing. To a big extent, you know, many of us probably in our homes, we get in our mailboxes and buying dream home, or building your dream home. And so that's quite a big thing in a lot of people's mind. Now, when we do not have a house, we can, you know, do a lot of things and trying to get one. And when we have one, we continue to do a lot of things because there's a lot of upkeeping and maintaining and paying mortgages and all the bills associated with the house and the apartment. So it can be kind of endless merry-go-around, yeah? And in the Bay Area here, sometimes, you know, if I kind of pull myself out and looking at the whole Bay Area from the bird's eye view, it's as if sometimes the entire Bay Area is spinning around in the big whirlpool of real estate market. Lots of things are centered around this, yeah? And so sometimes I was thinking that here, maybe in many places outside here, earning a living is not that complicated, but earning a housing is kind of a totally different beast. And so, is our home defined by a numbered street, you know, 185 Birch Street, and a five-digit zip code, or is it something else? So I'm sure that for many of us, if we just kind of close our eyes, contemplate a little bit. And very quickly, the notion of a shelter and a structure probably will fade away when it comes to the relationship with the notion of a home. And so what bubbles up next might be something different. And it's not very uncommon that for a lot of people, what bubbles next after the surface level of relationship to our shelter is that of sweet memory of childhood. Maybe the places you lived before are just the childhood. It's a notion that kind of connects to home. And so for me, I lived in a countryside in China when I grew up, when I was little. It was a very undeveloped place, and just quite wide open, lots of animals, wild, domestic. We had chickens in our house, and I would go get a little egg every day. It's one of my favorite things to do. And, we have snakes around and pigs and dogs, geese, just running around. And so, but that's the time that I felt not very limited by anything. So our family of five people, three generations, lived in a really tiny apartment in a big apartment building where, pretty much all families are just like us. So the walls of the apartment were never the boundaries of our homes. And if we need to play with the friends, we just run out. Friends are outside. And if we need to go find friends in someone else's house, a home, we don't have houses there back then. So we just go into somebody else's store and go play. We have no notion of a play date, nowadays. I'm being a mother, I have to arrange for play dates. When I grew up, and there's no need for play dates, so we just run out and run around and spend endless hours outside. And so, so there's a sense of home can be related to a felt sense of being. And so those are the times that relate to me as a time of sweetness, being free and happy. And I remember, especially in the summer, we all get to go to the nearby reservoir, either after school or just in the summer, in the afternoon. We would swim for hours at a time with no adult supervision. So the sense of being worried about, any strangers coming to get us, and just kind of not on our mind. And so it's really beautiful time of our lives. And so I think, and this is a sense of a feeling, an inner sense of burden-freeness can be really related to the sense of a home. But, sometimes when we grow up with the social and culture and maybe even family influences and dynamics, there are, different ideas that start to kind of be inserted in our minds. And for me, we were told that we need to get out of this poverty that we were in, even though I really didn't feel like any form of a lacking. But we got to do something. So we moved about from one place to another. And as a young adult, and I came to America, and thinking, everyone else seems to be saying this is a heavenly place. And this were heaven. We got a lot of issues in heaven, for sure. At some point in my life, I began to observe what is happening in people's lives, in my own life. And I began to see some sort of a common pattern. As we kind of grew up to follow the conventional wisdom of, you know, getting educated and getting good, getting to the good schools and good jobs and making a lot of money and buying houses and getting good places to live and getting married. And somehow, you know, the more we do this and, you know, following the conventional wisdom of this being what everybody wanted, and didn't quite pan out because my life got busier and busier. Everybody's life seems to be busy, you know. We seem to be spinning around quite a lot, doing a lot of things. And a kind of a childhood sense of freedom, happiness, kind of gradually fade away. You know, how many of us would claim that we would have that, you know, seven-year-old childhood happiness, that, you know, prominence of that is still here when you're 40-year-old. So I began to kind of start to really question, what is going on here? And the bigger houses we get, the more separated we become. I'm kind of always worried about invading someone else's space, even though we all had a lot huge spaces already. So this process of looking outwards, pursuing, kind of fulfilling the dreams that other people might have told us to fulfill, and following the desires, didn't quite bring the sense of wholeness to me. And so that's that kind of really brought me to some form of a stopping and to really look what is happening in my life. And so as I was reflecting, this a childhood kind of being at home, worry-free, being at ease, contented, has very little to do with material pursuits or the pursuits of anything. It was simply being simple, being at ease, and not to have a lot of worry. And so that really gave me some kind of reflection in terms of looking at the life right now. And there is a feeling of not lacking anything, being contented. And so I'll speak about an experience that happened a few years ago. We had a family vacation in Cancun, and we came back on a busy Christmas day. And so our family were at the international airport in Cancun on the Christmas day. It was just, you know, a lot of people. Lots of sound everywhere. The speakers were announcing this and that, flight and delays, and just lots of things going on. It feels like motion everywhere. And so when I was standing in the middle of all of this, at some point, and there was this kind of urge bubbling inside of me. I kind of felt like everything feels like a chaotic, even though it was Christmas Day. But kind of unpleasant. But at that time, I've been practicing this insight practice for a while. And so I just began to tune in what was going on inside of me. And I stayed with this urge. And at some point, a voice came up. I really want to go home. So, yeah, it's kind of, you know, lots of things going on, kind of chaotic. And But I stayed with that urge that bubbled up. And momentarily, and this urge fade away, I kind of looked around everywhere and still hearing the sound around me. But all of a sudden, right there, I felt home. I felt contented. I felt like I didn't have to be in any other places. And so I realized a home did not have to be any other places if we begin to open our eyes, inner eyes, to see. And home can be available right here, right where we are, and right now. It doesn't have to be a past memory. It doesn't have to be distant memory. It can be right here. And so there's a sense of a being home that is kind of safe, unburdened by the situations that we're in. And simply being alive and awake. It was quite a profound moment for me. And in that moment, and there was quite a lot of letting go of all kinds. Letting go of the situations around me, and letting go of identities that we may all carry with us, and being this person, being that person, being this role and that role. And so that was enough. It was a living in the moment of full acceptance without wishing for it to be any other way. And so the sense of a deep sense of well-being bubbles up. And that can be a notion of a home for us as well. And so sometimes I can, you know, think of an analogy of this kind of a deep sense of well-being. And that is, you know, when we're with ourselves fully at home, and, you know, we can wear socks with holes and not feeling pressured or having to be anybody, you know. And we can then chew our food with a sound. And not to feel like we have to be any worse or better. Yeah. And then those are the moments that we kind of let go a lot of our guards, you know, identities. Don't have to wear high heels and makeups, you know, to be someone. And so a deep sense of letting go of guards, letting down a lot of guards that we put up when we go to places and be someone. A lot of a huff and puff can be put down. Yeah? In this inner atmosphere, inner home, it can also be something that we don't have to struggle to get, not struggle to gain. But it's something that bubbles up if we are willing to step out of a spinning that has been going on in our head, you know, chasing around different things. If we're simply becoming aware, then this inner home can become available. And this is a quote from an Indian mystic, Sadhguru. And he says, homes have to become incubation spaces which nurtures the realization that ultimately the only home a human being can really know is within. If you do not realize in this lifetime that the ultimate home is within, then the only home you will know will be the grave. It might sound kind of harsh. and the provocative. Well, maybe that's good. You know, provocative is good. It gets attention. So, we don't all have to all agree with it or disagree. But I think it's good to poke at us from time to time to really see, is that so? Is that so? When we turn inward, what do we find? You know, for some of us who came meditated in the morning, you know, we kind of closed our eyes and not look out, around outside. We turned inward. What do we see? And there can be one way of turning inward is to simply activate our storytelling and projections, to-dos, and we can close our eyes, do a lot of stuff. Can continue to think about our plans for the day and continue to finish our unfinished projects and think about yesterday, think about tomorrow. I mean, that would not be that different from opening eyes and chasing stuff outside. And so turning inward does not necessarily mean that we simply close our eyes not to see, not to hear. And we can still do a lot of things with our mind, continue to chase around inside. But there is a different way of turning inward, which has to do with becoming aware what is happening. And becoming aware of the mental activities, the sensations in the body, sound inside and outside. And so this awareness is a way to kind of pull us out of the spinning and the running and the busyness that has been going on, both inside and outside, right? And this awareness is really a doorway, an opportunity for us to step out. And so when we begin to step out, we can kind of disengage with all the processes that are going on in the body, in the mind, the stories that we're telling ourselves. And it's really kind of stepping out of that. And I began to see the thoughts, the emotions, and the body sensations as they are. And not to kind of trying to manipulate them in any way, but simply looking at them as if they are the wonders. And they are the wonders of our lives. And we only if we can open our eyes, inner eyes, to see. And when we're truly becoming aware, and the sense of acceptance and openness can bubble up, we can allow the fear to happen, to come and go. We can allow joy, happiness to come and go. We can allow big sound, tiny sound, and silence to come and go. And all of that can flow right in front of our eyes. It's kind of what Ajahn Chah is saying. It's kind of like a life of being a still flowing water. It's that a stillness, yet the process is flowing. The life force is flowing in front of us. And it welcomes everything. And nothing need to be out of the door. It's kind of like when I was little, the doors of all of our neighbors are wide open. Come, go anytime. So one more quote from Sadhguru. Ultimately, a home is a space that is supposed to turn you inward and allow you to experience that there is only one home, which is within. That home is neither yours nor mine. If you turn inward, you become super inclusive. It is only in being identified with our body and mind that we have clear-cut boundaries of you and I. If you turn inward, there will be a profound sense of inclusiveness in you. A home should cultivate that inclusiveness. It's not the opulence of the structure that inclusiveness. It is not the opulence of the structure, but the inclusiveness of the people which makes a home. And so who and what do we block out of our inner home? And what decides who and what situations do we include? And what do we exclude? Do we open our doors by what we like and close the doors by what we dislike? Or do we open the doors by what we believe and close the doors by what we don't believe? Now, what are the triggers for us to have this inner door open and closes? Is there a possibility for this inner door to be wide open, regardless what it is coming through us? And another sense of that I relate to the notion of home is that of nourishment. And coming to the center like this, Insight Meditation Center, our retreat center, oftentimes I have a sense of a homecoming. Because the doors of the centers are wide open to anybody. Everyone can come. And so that sense of being received and being nourished by the community and the care is the sense of being home, nourished by what's here in the home. And so it's also in this kind of environment, the sense of struggle and agitation can be let go of. And having to be someone, the kind of a sense of huff and puff can be let go. And the deep sense of letting go can happen. I remember in the early days going to Hidden Vela before our retreat center was bought for retreats. And they have cabins in Hidden Vela. And we would have, three, four, five, six of us living in the big cabin for 1 week, 2 weeks, meditating. But in this kind of environment, when a lot of hyped up self-concerns, mortgages to pay, bills to pay, and job successes were let go of, and we turn inward deeply, we often feel deeply nourished in that kind of big family and the big home. And so I wish that this turning inwardly can be something that is deeply nourishing to you as well. And so I share something that a friend shared with me a while ago. Maybe kind of like a poem. A dream. I had a dream last night. walking out of an apartment building, much like where I lived when I was little. The compact building with lots of apartments in it. My home is at the other end of the building. The strong gusty wind was blowing. It was dusty, gray, and merciless. Walking against the wind, I leaned forward, striving to move toward the other end of the building, where my home was. Yet, struggling in vain, it feels like the end of the world coming. At some point, a voice came from within. No need to resist, just let go. Let go of everything. I stopped trying to go home. I let go, and let go of resistance, striving and struggling. All of a sudden, I, this big capital I, vanished in the wind. I woke up into a profound field of emptiness. I felt home. The kind of home that has no walls, no roof. The kind of home that is boundless. The kind of home that is wide open to welcome everyone and everything. And so what makes a home for us? There can be many possibilities. And just in this talk itself, you know, we looked at the home from the angle of shelter, structures, buildings, houses, to our past memories, or to our inner being that continues to construct the world in front of us. Or it could be an inner being that simply observes what is happening. And so we're simply open our awareness. We begin to really live our lives fully. And sitting in this big meditation hall here, what prevents us from being right here, feeling at home? This moment, what prevents us from feeling home right now? And so hopefully you get a sense that this word can have many dimensions to it and many layers to it. And it's my wish that you get to reflect a little bit for yourselves. And it is my wish that we all dwell in and be nourished by a boundless loving home within. So thank you. So we have a few minutes, you know, if you have any questions, comments, or your versions of a home that you'd like to share, feel free to do so. I do have a mics on around.
I was wondering if you could say something about the notion of refuge in Buddhism, and how that might relate or not to what you're talking about in terms of home, because we go to refuge in the Buddha and the Dharma and the Sangha as kind of maybe a protection or a rock. So do you see any parallels, or are they kind of different?
Yeah, it's a good question. And refuge oftentimes for people might, you know, especially in this tradition, might have some sense of a home, because we do feel under the protection of the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, you feel some form of a safety. And so in that sense, you know, there's definitely some commonality there. And for some people, it's a great way to reflect, you know, what's the refuge as well. Right? Is the refuge out there, you know, and the symbolic Buddha and Dharma, Sangha. The Dharma is the teachings, and it can be all things that are happening, or the Sangha community. And so it's a great way to reflect also. Are we taking refuges by establishing certain kind of external entities that we feel that brings safety and well-being to us? Or is that a notion or certain state of a being that is safe and contented and peace within us? Yeah. Worth contemplating.
I was particularly touched by inclusiveness and how much I exclude.
Thank you. Yeah. Judy.
Yes, I too was intrigued by the inclusiveness and particularly the relationship to turning inward and inclusiveness.
Yes.
It's worth looking into, as you say.
Yeah, we can use many different words to articulate this particular notion. Inclusiveness, openness, acceptance, you know, many of those kind of terms kind of speak to the same quality, which is really that of not saying no to anything. That's yet another way of articulating this. It's saying yes to everything that happens right in front of us. Any other thoughts and comments?
So there's a saying that I like that your talk reminded me of, and that's, home is where the heart is.
Yeah. Yes. And I think this gentleman has...
I just wanted to say thank you. It's a lovely talk, and I love the metaphor of the home. You're really talking about how to be at home in the world, wherever you are, and I just found it moving and enlightening, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's right. I mean, if a home is within us, it's very portable. You can carry it along with you all the time. Maybe one more question in the back.
What you said reminded me of Rumi's poem, The Guest House.
Yes.
Where he talks about being human is like a guest house, and to welcome and entertain whatever comes in, and that it's almost as a message from beyond, a clearing out.
That's right. And there's stuff, you know, there can be really nasty things clearing us out, but still, yeah. I thought about that poem when I was reflecting about this topic too. Yes, yes. Nadam.
And you can hear me?
Yes.
Let it go? Okay. Well, a long time ago when I was like in my teens and 20s, my friends and I would just go around and I used to always say, I feel like the world is my living room. I would feel so comfortable where I was. And then as the years went by, I kind of lost that. And I have been thinking about it recently and how to get that back. What was it that I was doing then that I kind of stopped doing? And anyway, I appreciated your talk today because it brought that back. Thank you.
Yeah. And it could also be what you didn't do at that time that you're doing a lot now.
Yeah. You are.
So I think I may have time for one more question. Or not.
Well, I can say something. Okay,
go for it.
I was living at Green Gulch Farm for a little while a couple years ago, and I remember talking to my roommate and telling him that I was noticing this feeling it was right when I got there, and I was feeling this feeling, and I finally had a word for it, and it was homesick. But I couldn't think of any home that I would actually, any place I thought I felt like was that home I was looking for. I grew up in a place where my parents don't live there anymore, and then I've lived in all these apartments for a year or two here, and never really feels like a place that I want to be for very long. It doesn't feel like a place to kind of come home to and feel content or safe or something. So that was interesting. And he said, "Oh yeah, I know that feeling, dukkha." Just like something like that. So yeah, that's just interesting to notice my own self. Consciousness, I think, for me, there's this running thread of, am I doing the right thing? Am I or am I messing up? Or am I, there's some of this, what are people thinking of me? And that not feeling, not just letting go, and all the time.
Yeah.
And so then when I'm at home, it doesn't really feel like home either.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I'm conscious we're over. So thank you so much, everybody. Yeah.